All right. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 16. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. All right, the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Notice that right there. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, a lot of times people might wonder and question, well, how could we be renewed? Well, there's something that we're told in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So tonight, we want to look over some principles that are found inside of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we can hopefully take away, that when you're having a bad day, when you're going through a not so good of a time, that you can pause and be renewed as well. So let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious and holy word. Now, Lord, I ask that you will just strengthen me, Lord, that you'll give me your words you'd have me to speak tonight. Lord, hide me behind the cross, Lord, and put those words in my mouth you'd have me to speak this evening. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for you alone are worthy. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, let's try to see what exactly was Paul and company, what were they going through? Well, first of all, let's look at the surrounding rivalry in verses 8 and 9. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." And you know, we see that there, that they are troubled on every side. It's like no matter where they look, there's trouble everywhere. It's like little fires here and there. But we see here in verse 1, he said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Then down in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not." There's twice right there you have a supernatural resolve, and that is that we faint not. You know, that's important for you and I to understand and to come away with this understanding that no matter how rough it gets, no matter what direction you're going in, you don't need to faint. You know, he says, "In due time we shall reap if we faint not." So we notice there from what we saw in verses 8 and 9, he says that we're not distressed. He says we're not in despair. He says we're not forsaken and we're not destroyed. Ain't that a blessing right there when you stop and think about it? That no matter what you're going through, you can lay hold onto the nail-scarred hand, you can touch the hem of his garment, and you can be renewed, you can be refreshed, you can have that resolve that's there inside of you by the Holy Ghost and by that inner man that's on the inside. And that's where we see again our spiritual renewal, that he says the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, what does that mean to be renewed? It means to have new strength. It means to have vigor. It means to cause to grow up, to make new even. So how is our question? How were they able to be renewed every day? What was that inward strength? Well, there are several key elements that they would not allow themselves to forget. And guys, I have to be reminded of this from time to time myself. There are times that can get to me. I remember when I first started inside the ministry, it was me and Clarence on many Wednesday night. And so when some of you come in and you might say, "Well, you know, we don't have a lot of people here," I remember a day and time when it was me and one other soul. So if we have four here, if we have six here, I praise God for that, because I've seen it. I've even come sometime where nobody else was here. But it was only one or two times in the past 18 years. So we thank God for that. That, you know, there are things that happen. There are times that are rough. But beloved, you know as well as I do, especially in the day in which we live, the Bible tells us in the last days perilous times would come. And if you look on every hand, there are troubles here, there, and yon. It don't matter which party controls the White House or controls the Congress. We're going to have troubles here, there, and yon, everywhere, all across our land. America has been through the thick and thin down through the year. But it seems like today, at least to me, it seems like things are getting worse. And I think personally the reason because that is because more and more of Americans are leaving this behind. More and more Americans are leaving this out of their day-by-day and their weekly activities. You know, it's now becoming quite common for everybody just to seemingly treat Sunday just like any other day of the weekend. People don't reverence God's house. They don't reverence God's word. They don't reverence God's will anymore. And that, beloved, I believe is a part of the bedrock underlying reason why so many of us are seeing more and more troubles pop up here and there. Why so many of our families are having more troubles, why many of our children are having more trouble, why many of us are having more troubles is because the average American has tossed God out of his life. They've tossed the church out of their life. They've tossed the Bible out, prayer life. What is that anymore? It's just all gone. It's just seemingly going more and more and more. So as we see these people out here trying to live their life without putting God inside the equation or the church house inside of their regular routine, there's going to be more and more problems. So you and I should be reminded about some things. I know myself, I have to be reminded of it because the first thing I have to, you may not get as much out of it as I do, but I know for me here personally, there's one thing I have to remember, and that is, number one, one of the things that renews me day by day is the privilege of the ministry. You know, God didn't have to call me into this. And, you know, you say, well, preacher, I'm not inside the ministry. No, no, wait a minute. Yes, you are. You are. No matter what you're doing, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're just a church member, none of that says that just because you're not here doesn't mean you don't have a ministry. You do. Every one of us do. David has a ministry in and of himself because he's able to reach out not only as a deacon of this church, but also he had the ability to play music. But you say, well, I don't have that same thing. Well, neither do I. I can barely play a harmonica as it is. But if I get a guitar, Lord help us all. You know, your way of ministering is not going to be the same way somebody else does. So just because you don't have a title, just because you may not have a position, does not mean for one minute you're not ministering to somebody else. Let me tell you one of the easiest ways you can minister, and that is kindness. That is showing somebody else the love of Jesus Christ. Putting a smile on your face. Stopping and letting somebody pass in front of you out in traffic. We are in so big of a hurry nowadays. I know I get that way many times. We get inside tunnel vision. And we get our own world, our own thoughts, and our own things on our minds. And we got to go, 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 go. But it pays to step back a minute and just stop and catch your breath and just be kind to others out there. Because, folks, if there's anything our world needs a lot more of right now, is kindness. Is the ability to be able to talk to somebody else in a civil way and manner and just show them basic everyday kindness. And that is so much missing out of this world today. And the people that need to be at the forefront, the tip of the spear leading that charge, should be us, of all people. Because if anybody knows anything about kindness, it should be the church. It should be the Christian. And that, beloved, is a privilege you and I have of ministering to other people out in this lost and dying world. These people out here who preach and they teach about tolerance and inclusivity and, quote, loving everybody else, those are some of the most hateful and spiteful people out there. I've seen, at least. You know, they say that they want everybody to have a seat at the table, but yet when we come up, there ain't no spot left for us. For our Bible and our Jesus, where is it? Oh, they'll have Allah all the day long and the Quran. They'll have, the Hindus and everybody else, every flavor of every religion out there. But, oh, the minute you bring up Jesus, there's daggers everywhere. There's problems. And you know, folks, I don't know about you, but that just seems to be a big proof that our God is real. Amen. Because it's like nobody else raises a ruckus when they talk about Allah or somebody else or Krishna or Buddha or somebody else like that. But when we bring in Jesus, that's when the feathers start getting ruffled. You know, they like to talk about Jesus being a fairy tale and all this. Well, I don't see him doing anything about Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or, you know, the Sandman or anything like that. But this fairy tale called Jesus Christ, oh, they get rumpled real quick. They get bent out of shape real quick about this fairy tale that supposedly does not exist. I mean, where's the marches to ban the leprechauns, for crying out loud? I mean, where's the marches out there to do away with the fairy tale of the Tooth Fairy, for crying out loud? But no, it's not against anything of that. It's always about my Jesus. And I have to say, folks, that to me, that's a surefire one of the answers I see that he ain't a fairy tale, that he's real. Amen. And that he causes these people so much consternation and aggravation. Yeah. But see, that's the thing about it. We see that Paul says, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, folks, one of the things we need to be renewed about when it gets tough in life, when things get kind of down, we need to remember that you and I have a privilege of serving the Lord together in this ministry we call Danieltown Baptist Church. In this ministry we call the Christian life. And that is a privilege. God didn't have to save any one of us. God didn't have to keep this church going. There are several times throughout the many years inside of the past that God could have and probably should have shut these doors down by man's idea. But God had a plan, and God still has a plan for us to have the privilege and the humble honor together to serve in this ministry here at this moment, in this hour, in this day and time. And I thank God for that. But then there's something else that should renew us, and that is the power of the message. Look and see right here in verse 3. He says, when we've looked at this several times, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, I'm glad of that tonight, that it's not dependent on your power or mine. It is dependent upon the power of the Holy Ghost through the Lord Himself. That God has put this power, this gospel, this word of God in your hands and mine. And that is amazing when you stop and think of, when you just stop and just ruminate on this, just for a little bit, to stop and think of how many preachers, how many saints of God have went forward preaching and teaching this message that has changed the lives of so many. When you look at missionaries that have went forth and out preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, putting their lives in danger, people going to where the cannibals live and going and losing their lives. For what? For the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men who had wonderful professions, making money, being famous, and all these other things, left it all behind to go walk and serve the Savior. Doctors who helped people and they had thriving practices, turned their backs on that money and on that reputation and went out somewhere and gave their services for free to help the downtrodden, to help those who were unable to do anything. And they did it all in the name of Jesus. Folks, this is the most powerful thing we have. It is greater than any atomic bomb. It is greater than any force on this earth, any political movement, anything you can think that is so powerful. Greater than the hugest, most mightiest hurricane that's ever hit the shores of our coast or any other. Greater than it, than the highest tidal tsunami wave. Greater than the most gigantic earthquake that's ever leveled the earth. greater than any fire that has swept through and burned all the acreage of many forest fires. This gospel of Jesus Christ, this word of our living God, is the most powerful thing that we have in the universe. And God has put it in your hands and mine to do what? To change not only our lives, but to change somebody else's life. The people we try to share this message with, they may never pick this book up. They may never read that tract we may give. But I'll tell you exactly what they will read. It's your life and mine. They'll watch that. They will look at that. They will analyze that like something under a microscope. They'll peel back the layers. They'll watch you when you get mad. They'll look when you get sad. They'll look when you get glad. But they'll watch your expression. They'll watch your words. They'll watch your actions every way they can. Because that lost man in his deepest mind and back in the depths of his heart, he knows there's a God out there. It's only the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. And he's wondering, if I go and I trust this God, I'm going to have to give all this stuff up that I want up. And if I trust in this God, I'm going to have to play by His rule book. I'm going to have to go by His plan. And so they're watching to see if they can find fault. So then they can, in their mind, they can rationalize it, criticize it, and just throw it away. To make themselves believe otherwise. That's crazy if you ask me. There's evidence all around. But that's where you and I need to be thankful that we have been born and that we live in the Bible Belt. That we're not in some foreign off land where we've been worshiping the wrong God all these many years. We've grown up in a land where we can look out and take a rock and pretty much hit any church from our doorstep. That we can drive through a town on your way to this church even and pass 10, 12, 20 churches possibly. There's churches all over this county and inside of our state and the upstate. All the way around. Thank God we live where we live. And that just goes back again to the power of the message. It has changed so many people's lives. Revivals have started, not planned, and God showed up and He showed out. You've been in services before, and I have, where the power has been felt and seen. We've seen people healed. We've seen lives changed. We've seen the prodigals come back home. We've seen the power of forgiveness. We've seen that soul near his tail born again. We've shouted and praised with them, folks. Just because it may not happen every service doesn't mean God is not still working. He is. The power is still there. It's still working. It's still just as effective tonight as it was 500 years ago. It's still there. And so when you have some down days, when you have some time where you wonder, why keep going on? When the enemy's trying to break through to you and knock you down, not only should you allow the privilege of this ministry speak to you and help renew you, but you should also let the power of this message, let it speak to you and renew you again, to be reminded that you have His Word in your hand, that you don't have to wait till you come to church to tap into this power. You don't have to wait until the preacher's preaching on the radio or on the phone or on the computer or whatever. You can tap into it wherever you are. Amen. That God thought enough of you and me to send His Word across these thousands and hundreds of years to put His power inside your hands and your lap. That at any time, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you've had a nightmare or you can't go to sleep at night and you're pacing the floors back and forth, you have that power right here. That no matter what trouble, what doubt, what horror, what sorrow, whatever is weighing, what burden is on your shoulder, God thought enough of you and I to give us His power to tap into. The problem is we don't. Too many times we try to solve it on ourselves. We try to take the ball in our court and try to figure it out ourselves. God says, just call on me. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for thee. He says, Jesus said what? He says, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. That means the power of God and the Scriptures are linked together. But then, Let's think about something else. Drop down to verse 15. He says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." You know, when Paul looked at this, he was not just talking about the thanksgiving of many, but he looked up here, back up in verse 13, to kind of get the context of this. He says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." And that's where he comes in. "For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." Now, this is something you can latch on to as well when you stop and think about this. And that is another thing that you can tap into to uplift your spirit, to renew yourself day by day, is the praise of the many. You say, "What do you mean, the praise of the many? I thought we're supposed to praise God." Yes, we do, but I want you to stop just for a minute and to think about one day when you stand in the presence of the Lord and God gives you your reward, when God gives you your crown and gives you your gold, silver, and precious stones. And I hope to the good Lord that he will tell each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I like to also think that we're going to turn around and we're going to see people and they'll say, "Brother David, I want to thank you for sharing Jesus with me. I came to know Jesus because of your ministry, because of what you did." You know, you don't know fully this side of glory how you have impacted somebody. And I believe, folks, as sure as I'm standing here, that there are people today, right now, at this hour, that are thanking God that they met Miss Judy, that are thanking God they met Miss Peggy, that are thanking God they met Uncle Junior, that they met Cheryl, that they met Daddy, that they met Jeff, that they met David, that they met me, that they met all of our folks here. Because every person you come into contact with, I believe, is a divine appointment. That you meet that person to influence and impact that person. And you never know the impact of a smile will go inside of somebody's life. You've heard me tell the story about the little kid that was picked on, having all his books. He tripped and he fell, and then the other guy came over and helped him. And then that following Monday, he came back and thanked him. And he said, "Well, what'd you thank me for? I just helped you pick your books up." He said, "Yeah, but I was going to go kill myself because nobody likes me. Everybody picks on me. And that's why I had all my books. But when you showed me that kindness, it showed me that somebody cared." You don't know this side of glory. Somebody's life you might have saved. Because you stopped, you inconvenienced yourself to give up your time out of your busy schedule to help somebody or just to talk to somebody. That's why, guys, we should never be too busy to do God's work, as small as it may be. And that's where the praise of the many comes in. You know, you may not ever hear that this side of glory, but I think one of these days the whole story is going to be told. Because you're not saved to live unto yourself. We're saved to live for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus, through us, might reach out and touch somebody else. You know, there's a song we've sung many times. "Oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch Jesus. Oh, just let me touch them so that they can, let me touch him so that they can know and be saved." You know, that's what it's all about. So many times, people nowadays seem like they get this whole thing about Christianity mixed up inside out about it's all about saving me from hell so I don't have to go to hell and suffer. But it's not just that. It's that God saves you so that he can work through you, so that he can use you. I mean, nobody likes to be used, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about God using us for his glory. And if that's the case, then praise God. Use me all you want, Lord. So many people nowadays, they'll use you and squeeze you and drain you dry and then throw you and get somebody else. You know who does that? That's the devil. That's what the devil does. The devil's going to pick and use you and wring you dry until, you know, he can get nothing else out of you. Then he slings you to the side like an old rag doll, like an old sock, because he don't need you no more. That's what the devil does with his people. But that ain't what Jesus does with his. He wants to live and love through you. And God, if we don't show them that cross, if we don't show them that Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected, they can't ever see the love of God. They've got to see something different in your life and mine. Yeah. And so, yes, are times hard? Yes. Do we have troubles on every hand? Absolutely. We have that surrounding rival. We have those troubles on every hand. But, folks, don't forget you've got that supernatural resolve inside of you because of the power of the Holy Ghost, because of the message of this Word of God that you've learned, that you've heard preached and taught down through these many years. And that should give birth to that spiritual renewal that will help you keep on keeping on. When the days are long and when the times are tough and when you feel like nobody cares and why am I wasting my time, you should hopefully tap into some of these aspects and understand something about what the whole thing is really about. But then let's look at the perspective of the moment. Look down at the last three verses in our chapter. He says, as our text verse, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." That's another thing called faith right there. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Amen. You know, the perspective of the moment. You know, there's a popular saying, and I've heard some people say, "Well, that's in the Bible." No, it's not in the Bible. It's where it says, "For this too shall pass," or "this too shall pass." It sounds biblical, but that wording is not found inside your Bible. I don't care what your Facebook theological yahoo said, that ain't in the Bible. That comes from the Middle East, actually. That's one of their proverbs they have out there. But that's something you should think about, that your troubles and your trials and that your heartaches and your headaches and all these things, that's going to pass. So again, we should keep the perspective of the moment that these things which we encounter here, they're temporary, that they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. Or they'll be here for a little while, then they'll be gone off the scene. But there's one thing that'll never, ever be off the scene totally, and that's heaven. That's where we're going. That's our home. All the treasures we have down here, all those wonderful, nice things we may have that we enjoy, okay, enjoy it while you're here. But don't let that be your primary focus, because there's treasures in heaven. Jesus said you're supposed to lay up there. There's a lot of people, guys, that are more focused on what they got in their bank account than what they have up in their mansion in heaven. Amen. And ain't that what the Bible teaches us about too? It says that many who have chased those earthly treasures, the money, that they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows, and they have erred from the faith, the Bible tells us. That's what so many people have done. They've sacrificed this to chase that almighty dollar. I mean, what ain't that what happens? Ain't that what the Bible tells us? That the borrower is servant to the lender. I mean, look and see why so many people work themselves to death like they do. You know why? It's because we have a lifestyle to maintain. It's because we have debt we've got to pay. It's because we have these bills. But you know what? If we didn't have all that debt, you could do without some of that work. If we didn't have that lifestyle to maintain, cut it down, you wouldn't have to have all that money. If we didn't have all them bills and knock them down a little bit, guess what? We could live off a lot less. And if we could live off a lot less, then what would that mean? That would mean less hours having to work. That would be more time doing the things of God, more time spending with family, more time doing the things that really matter in this life. And these things of this world has blinded us in many ways, because Satan's caused so many of us in the church, in churches all across this land, to chase that, quote, that American dream of having that house and two cars in the car shed and, you know, having all these things. But folks, that's not what life is about. Life is about Jesus. And we need to find Jesus wherever we are. Wherever we're at. David, you can go ahead and have a seat there. Yeah. Perfect timing, sir. So keep the perspective of the moment. Realize and understand that this stuff down here is only temporary. And that's what Paul's telling us here. He says, he's basically telling us, reminding us to renew yourself thinking about the things that matter. That the things that we see, feel, and touch here, enjoy that as we may, or suffer through it while we might, but understand that the day's coming when we're going to be home in heaven. So I think if we look at the privilege of the ministry, the power of the message, the praise of the many, and the perspective of the moment, I think if we can remember these things, we'll discover that God will renew us day by day through His Word. It's easy to forget these things when trouble comes and when persecution arises. But we can't faint if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and on His Word and let it renew us day by day by the renewing of our mind. If we let God's Word renew our minds, then as we remember these things about the ministry, the message, the many, and the moment, I think that'll help us hone in our focus and that it will renew us. That the fact that God hasn't taken us home yet shows me that I still have something to do for Him, for His glory. God is still using you right now. So if you got a crappy day today, turn it over to God. Find that silver lining around that cloud. Look for Jesus wherever you're at, whatever you're going through. Get through that and know that God can turn this mess into a message. He can turn it for His glory somehow, some way, if we'll just keep looking unto Him. So be renewed then, my dearly beloved. No matter what life may throw at you, remember who saw it first, God did, and He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you, that you can come through it with Him every step of the way, no matter how hard it might be. God's still on the throne, and He's got you in the palm of His hand. So as we bow our heads and as we close our eyes, if God's speaking to you tonight, whatever way, shape, or form, if you're going through a time right now, I hope that God will restore you and renew you right now where you sit. Let's make sure we have a little talk with Jesus. Be glad to pray for you. Be glad to pray with you, whatever it may be. As David plays an invitational hymn, if God's speaking to your heart, would you come?